All right, so joining us now is Dr. Anthony Fauci. Welcoming him back to the program. He's the director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases and was in attendance at an enormously significant H1N1 summit that was held yesterday at the National Institutes of Health, which included a by video link up with the President Obama live from Italy at the G8 summit. First of all, Dr. Anthony Fauci, good morning.
Good morning.
This was an unprecedented interagency gathering that involved the Secretary of Health and Human Services, also Homeland Security. You had the Secretary of Education there. And then, of course, all the people at the NIH involved with the public health issues. First of all, did it help to have all those cooks in the room?
Well, yes, in a sense, because what it also did is it brought together many, many officials from the state and local jurisdictions who are going to be the ones, after all, that will be implementing the flu pandemic preparedness plan that we have been working on now intensively over the last few months since the recognition of this new H1N1 virus in April, but also for the previous few years in preparation for the bird flu, which we've been watching for at least several years. So it was an important meeting because it brought together all of the parties who will be involved in the implementation of the plan. And as you mentioned, there were three secretaries plus John Brennan of the White House Homeland Security Council.
Now, what do you think the first issue is going to be? Where's the front line in this H1N1 battle? Is it the vaccine development? And I want to get an update from you on that. Or is it something to do with the schools? Arne Duncan, the Secretary of Education, of course, spoke a lot with reporters yesterday.
Well, it's both. The issue with the schools is how do we handle outbreaks that involve schools? And it's a delicate balance because the main line is that when children get sick, the parents are encouraged not to send the children to school. But sometimes when there's so much illness in the school and it can't function, that leads to the closing of the schools, which we saw just a short while ago, particularly in New York City, which it was an appropriate thing to do. And then when that lessened up a bit, the schools were reopened. But the point that you made earlier is the critical issue, and that is the preparation by getting a vaccine. We are already well into the process of the developing a vaccine, and what we discussed openly yesterday was the time frame. We're going to start clinical trials on an H1N1 vaccine probably in the first week in August. It'll take a couple of months to determine, is it safe? Does it induce the response you want it to induce? And what's the right dose to give? And the projection is that by mid-October, we'll have doses, if the decision is made to vaccinate individuals, that we will be able to start that hopefully in the middle of October.
Now, but historically, though, the rhythm of how this infectious disease, this pandemic would peak would be in the early fall, maybe not so much October, but more September. Is October going to be on the right time frame?
You know, not necessarily. If you look at seasonal flu, the flu vaccinations that we do like clockwork every year, we generally start the vaccinations the end of October, beginning of November, because the flu season in its regular seasonal rhythm usually peaks in midwinter, not in the early fall. We'd like to get it started as soon as we possibly can, but the standard rhythm of the flu is that it peaks sometime December, January, not September.
All right. Let's talk a little bit about Homeland Security. Now, it sounds good and perhaps it feels good to have Homeland Security in the room on something like this. But what are the tools at their disposal that would help someone like you who's involved in public health?
Sure. Well, that's an excellent question that got asked several times in the process. When you think about the health issues, the vaccine, the drugs, the public health issues, both nationally and in the local, state, city arena, clearly that's the Department of Health and Human Services. But if you get a pandemic that's disruptive of society, that involves multiple departments and multiple areas of our society, from transportation to school to the economy. In other words, anything that would be disruptive to what you'd be called the security of the nation when things start getting disconnected, that's where you get Homeland Security in there. So it's the overarching concern about a disaster, i.e. a hurricane, a flu, or what have you. But the medical aspects clearly are handled by the Department of Health and Human Services.
You know, there's been a lot of discussion this year since this swine flu, H1N1 flu, came out, that there's plenty of of gauging of the severity of this pandemic on the question of how quickly the infections are propagating around the world. But there's very little gauging of this flu on the basis of how sick it can make you, how much of a threat it is. It's sort of medical morphology when it actually gets into your body. What discussion was there about how to responsibly warn people about the significance of this, to give it a sense of priorities that are reasonable as opposed to just hysteria?
Well, that, again, another good point that you make. But we do know right now in general what the severity has been. We have experience in the United States, a lot of infection here in the United States, Mexico, and also now throughout the world. So fundamentally, with some exceptions of people who can get severely ill, particularly troublesome, some young people who are otherwise well, in general, you would characterize what we're seeing now as a mild to, at the worst, moderate severity pandemic. So we do know that it is not an overwhelmingly virulent virus at this time. The concern that we have and that we continually discuss is that influenza viruses can change. They can mutate.
Right.
So you have to watch it very carefully that it doesn't become more fierce or more virulent as it evolves in human. The good news is that we've been tracking this intensively since the beginning of April. And now in mid-July, it hasn't changed at all. It's virtually identical, the virus, molecularly.
Wow.
And how it's working since it was in April.
Well, that's great news.
So that doesn't
news.
Mean it's not going to change, but
right.
It's encouraging news that it's not a rapidly changing virus.
Absolutely. That's great news. It's a great takeaway. Dr. Anthony Fauci, director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases. Before we go, a couple more questions. Is the technology of this vaccine that they're developing standard issue technology? Are they trying something new because the stakes are really high here? We're not testing this out on the American people, are we?
No, this is standard technology, which we've been used for decades and decades. We want to get to more advanced technology, but the advanced technology is not ready for prime time now and will not be used in the development of the vaccine that we want to get to the American people by the fall. So this is standard, tried and true technology.
Any consensus at the H1N1 summit yesterday about what the triage is on virus,
yeah,
on who gets the vaccination first?
Yeah, that's a good point, a very important point. This virus is acting in an interesting way. Unlike other influenzas, it seems to preferentially infect young people the way it did so intensively and is doing in New York City. So the preferential prioritization will be that we'll go for school children first, and then individuals who are particularly vulnerable to severe disease, like pregnant women, adults who have underlying conditions, as well as healthcare workers, will be right there in the mix taking care of people. But young individuals of school age will be the high priority.
You know, I've got to make a little news today. Barack Obama announced the nominee for your boss, Dr. Anthony Fauci, yesterday. Any comment on that?
Yeah, that's Francis Collins. He's a great scientist, a good person. He's been a good friend and a colleague for the last 15 years. He was the director of one of the institutes, the Genome Institute here. So we're all looking forward to his confirmation by the Senate.
All right, well, just helping the HR issues there at NIH, welcoming Dr. Collins in, who has to face confirmation. Now, Dr. Anthony Fauci, thanks so much for being on the program again.
You're quite welcome. Good to be here.
Anthony Fauci, director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases. And you heard it. There's the takeaway. First people to be inoculated for swine flu once there is a vaccine will be young people based on the infection pattern so far.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.